We're talking real money.
On Talking Real Money, we talk about money. But most of the time, we talk about the investing of money. Because, well, that's one of the biggest problems most people face in their lives is getting started investing, how to invest, all of that. But there's another important part of managing money, and that is, and by the way, this barely existed 150 years ago. Boy, does it exist now. That is managing credit and avoiding debt. But we all, at one time or another, or not we all, but most of we all, have found ourselves in debt that sometimes feels unmanageable. And we turn to the academics. We believe in following the advice of academics. So what is the best way to deal with high credit card debt? How can you, what's the easiest way for us to start to pay that off and to get out from underneath that ponderous weight of the debt that keeps us from saving? I mean, when you're paying 19 to 26% to borrow money, yeah, that's pretty painful stuff.
Indeed it is. Let's talk about the size of the problem first. It's pretty astounding. A bank rate survey showed that more than one-third, 35% of the U.S. adults now carry credit card debt from month to month. That's up from 29% a year ago. The average balance, about $5,500. And here's the part that hurts the most. You mentioned 19 to 26. The average annual percentage rate on a credit card recently hit 19.85. And that rate, by the way, is going up because interest rates are going up or have gone up, pardon me. So this is a real problem. And if it's not for you, by the way, it might be for one of your kids, your grandkids. Other younger people have a tendency to think that's not an issue. I'll pay it off later. It won't be a big deal. It takes up mental space as well as financial space.
Oh, people, well, my gosh, when you're paying on a dollar borrowed 20 cents every single year, there's no investment you can find that will ever come close to making that kind of money for you. The banks are making out like bandits. So the question is, I want to start paying off my debt. I've got X debt that is at 23%, and I've got this other debt that's at 17.9. Should I start with the high and go to the low? Should I pay them off equally? What's the best way for me to get out of that debt?
Well, conveniently enough, this is a discussion during the winter months because the two big ones are the debt snowball and the debt avalanche, which both fit the time of year, I guess.
Both sound wintry.
It wouldn't be as good in the summer months. Of course, the snowball is where you pay off the smallest credit card balance because it gets the snowball rolling down the hill, right? Then you pick up the next one, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas the avalanche is like, I'm going to pay off that highest interest rate,
the one that's hurting me the most financially.
Exactly. That you really should look at it and say, now, well, I'm paying 26 there. Yeah,
I always leaned toward paying off the higher rate cards back when I had balances. Don't have many more, but back when I did, I always leaned toward that because it felt to me like I was making the most money on that money.
I would be one who would agree with you. But there are many things, as we know, when it comes to money, that more likely are about the emotions and less about the dollars and cents. And I love some of these quotes. There's a great quote from a Yale economist who says, and I got to find it now, but I think this is a great quote for today. The best diet is the one you can stick to. In other words, if it really is the snowball because I'm paying something off, it's encouraging, I see that I got rid of one balance, I'm moving on to the next one, well, then that makes sense. If you have enough strength, if you have enough discipline to say, nah, I really know that I got to pay this one off at 26% before I pay the other one off at 19, well, then the avalanche will work for you. There is no right or wrong in this. The right, actually, though, however, is the fact that you want to pay off the highest interest rate card first, because as you just said, Don, that's costing you the most, right?
But is there a difference? Is it easier for me to pay off? I mean, is it easier for to Is it more encouraging, I guess is the word. Is it more encouraging to me as somebody who's trying to get out of debt to pay off the smallest amount first? I mean, is there anything to be said for that?
There's a lot to be said for that. And again, that's what the Yale economist says, is that, yeah, if you're able to do it and stick with it, it makes sense. We know a lot of this is emotional and not just the dollars. And so, yes, there are many people that that's worked for. There's some popular radio show and podcast that espouses this belief many times and has for many years. So people have followed that and believed it. Again, as a financial guy, I'm going to tell you, get rid of the biggest interest rate debt first. Let me make a couple other ideas that I don't see talked about in this article. Number one, I still think if you're at a place where you've got $5,000 or $10,000 in credit card debt, you got to have a plan. You got to say, okay, I got the snapshot. Boom. Here's where I am today. Here's where I'm trying to get to in this period of time. Now, how am I going to get from point A to point B? Number one, generally, is you're going to have to slow down your spending because people use credit cards as a way to get at money that they don't generally have. Number two is looking at the actual dollars that are going out on each one of those cards every single month. In other words, the interest that's going out on those, and figure out how to knock that down. And if you can't do it, well, there's people to help you with this. Not the ones that are going to fix your credit and all the rest of that silly nonsense, but there actually is a national credit counseling operation, nfcc.org. I got this from our friend Herb Weisbaum. He says it's a legit deal. You get a counselor, they help you build a plan, and they put it together, and they make, you got to pay something for all this, but it is a not-for-profit, and they help people actually get through all of this. And I'll add one other thing. I think any interest, even in today's higher interest rate environment, over 5%, you should really have a plan to pay that off quickly, because how many people make 5% a year on their investments? Still, not that many when we look at your portfolios.
And you nailed it. The trick is to look at your statement and see how many dollars, not how much your bill is, not how much your monthly payment is, but how many dollars per statement are going to pay the bank. How many dollars are vanishing from your pocket forever and didn't buy you a darn thing? As a matter of fact, we last night, Debbie and I went to sell our second car because we realized that we're both at home a lot and we don't drive the second car. In 3 years, we've put 9,000 miles on it.
Oh, yeah. Time to let that one go.
So we put out feelers for prices and we found the best price. This is not a plug for them, but we found the best price at CarMax. And so we went to CarMax and we were selling the car. I'm trying to get the level. For some reason, my level dropped.
It went down.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. So I'm adjusting that. Anyway, we were sitting there. We got to get in the car sold. And there was a couple sitting two desks away buying a $29,000 used car. And I just happened to overhear. You can't help but overhear these conversations.
Yeah. Okay.
And the guy goes, so how much are you putting down? And they went, $450.
No.
Yeah, $450.
Financing $28,500 whatever.
Yeah. Well, guess.
More than that.
So it was $28,000. Well, with everything, they were financing $29,000.
Yeah, of course.
For all intents and purposes.
Sure. And?
Not once did they ask what the interest rate was. All they wanted to know was how much the payment.
This is what they bring people in and sell them on all the time.
He said $571 a month.
Which sounds like a lot to me for a used car, but I don't buy cars this way. So.
But it was over 72 months.
Yeah, there's a lot of those 72-month loans
and
now.
So on their $29,000 car, they were paying $41,000.
Wow. So all that interest.
$41,000.
And again, it's not just that. It's the opportunity cost of investing that money at the same time, which would be huge. So, yeah, this is still an issue. I think it's getting to be a bigger issue. We've read a lot lately about how debt and credit is being used more now because financial hardship is on more people, certainly, than it was a couple of years ago, and less government help. But it needs to be dealt with. It should be dealt with quickly. And as I say, for me, it's the 5% rule. Anything above 5%, you got to have a plan to get rid of it because you're unlikely to make that on the money that you have saved instead.
Yeah, and for me, even 5% is too much, unless it's your mortgage. Because I don't want to tie a lot of money up in a very illiquid asset. Otherwise, I'd see no point in paying interest on anything. Just spend a little bit less.
There you go. And that's always the toughest part of the equation when we do the plans, too. And people, we say, how much are you spending? I don't know.
Too much.
Yeah. It's generally
or they don't
more.
Know. That's they a problem. Know. They yeah, don't know. Mm-hmm. Most of us don't know. And no. That, again, is part of this whole process of planning for the future. It's a multi-step process. It's not just getting rid of the debt. It's knowing how much you're spending today, on what you are spending it, and what you will need to be spending when you get to retirement. And by the way, that should be everyone's ultimate financial goal, is to get to retirement comfortably, securely.
Couldn't agree more.
Question time?
Yes, absolutely. We got a lot
I knew you
of
had
questions.
One. Yep, I could see the pile in. On your podium there.
Pile
on the podium, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. And I think you can just go to the website, talkingrealmoney.com, and send us a question anytime.
You can.
Right? Anytime,
can.
Any
can,
year.
You can type them in or you can speak them in.
Yeah.
At talkingrealmoney.com.
Plenty of both. This one comes from David in Colorado. Interesting question. David's got a 529 for his son, which is great. And he's been manually choosing funds and allocations, but he's wondering if he should move to the aggressive age-based plan. Now, an age-based plan is when you use the term aggressive, I know they think there's some differences between being aggressive or moderate in those plans, which I don't know that I understand. But an age-based plan is like a target date fund.
Right, right.
At the beginning of a young person's life, it's basically on stocks. As that person gets closer to using the money, 16, 17, 18, they're going to have some in bonds because they want more stable to draw the money on. Then he writes, the selections were almost identical, but what was different is I was giving up control in the overthinking that I can do better. I go back and forth with the subscribing and unsubscribing to many shows, blah, blah, blah. He wants to know about the comfort level, and which makes sense. I mean, this is always the question, right? With everything.
We're always looking for the greener grass.
Exactly.
The better deal. It's the FOMO thing. Oh, gosh, if I'm in this, I might be missing out on that. No, let them manage. It's not even managing. It's just a glide path. It's a simple process that takes the onus off of you, and it's an onus you shouldn't even have on you because you've already proven that you're incapable of sticking to a plan.
Well,
you're drifting all over the place.
There's that, and the fact is, and by the way, I'm in the business. I got somebody else using that age-based plan for the ones I've got still, which I think is three or four 529s right now. I wouldn't manage it on my own. I see no reason to, because here's the thing.
And he only has two grandchildren. He doesn't know who those other 529s are for. Random children.
Here you go. Help yourself. The fact of the matter is you can get it so very, very, very inexpensively. If it was expensive, I wouldn't do it. Right? Because you know we're cheap about these things. Yeah, exactly. I think I was trying
Frugal.
To come up with a different word. So, yeah, I would use the age-based plan. I would recommend that for anybody. And I think we've recommended before the Virginia plan. I think you favor, Utah.
Utah, Virginia. I like Utah. So, oh, no, West Virginia, you're thinking.
West
not
Virginia.
Virginia.
Thank
West
you,
Virginia.
Thank you. Thank you very much, yeah.
Yeah, they used to be one state until the Civil War. Now they're separate.
That's, believe it or not, even before my time. So yeah,
just
not a lot before, but before. So I would use the age-based plan. And here's the other thing. Let yourself go a little bit.
Go crazy.
No, because control is overrated. I'd like to think I'm in control of a lot of things, and the reality is, I doubt it.
Practice what she preach.
You're going to be calling me out on this
Practice
one.
Practice what she preach. Control is overrated, Tom says.
Yeah, it is. Trust
Famous
me.
Famous last yeah. words. You will
like to
hear
be there.
That forever. I'm going to record that. It'll be like Chuck Jaffe going, I hate Susie Orman.
I hate Susie Orman.
Which
oh
we played over and over again many years ago.
We did. So anyway, that would be my suggestion, Dave, and good luck to you. And by the way, here's the other part of that. It's great you're doing something for your kid. A lot of people don't do this. I love 529s for a variety of reasons. And I think it's great. You're doing something for a young person. So bravo.
By the way, the word counter says that you're way ahead of me in words in this episode.
Okay. I'll be quiet the rest of the time.
Holy cow. I got to add a few extra extraneous words.
Please.
Heck, why not? Who knows?
Sure.
See the horsey.
Which podcast is this anyway?
I have no idea. I'm delirious today.
I can tell.
My viral thing came back. Why would it go away? Anyway, Tom, do you have anything else?
Yeah, I do have something else. Since you were already way
ahead on words.
I know. I do have something else. To those listening who are...
To those listening.
Paying attention. by the way, I had an all-staff meeting this week where I asked people for their... biggest achievements personally and professionally from 2022, which were great. It was a great meeting. And now next meeting, I'm going to ask people to say what other people's, I'm going to test them on their recall. See if they're paying attention. Ah, love that. So here's your recall.
Amazing race.
Here's your recall. Coming up on the 25th of February, you got to join us for retire meet because we have all these wonderful, and it doesn't matter. You don't got to be in the Seattle area. Because we do this online now, and we get more people online than we get in person. But go to RetireMeet, that's MEET.com, and look at the topics, look at the speakers, you're going to love them, and then register. You can even
Y'all
do it in your pajamas.
Don't need to. Well, that was almost, you became a country boy there. Y'all don't have to come out to Bellevue. Heck no.
Exactly.
You can go on that there newfangled calculating machine with the TV screen attached and just... visit with us that way.
Sit there in your PJs and enjoy the show. Yeah, retire meet. So, yes, that's all.
Who is texting me?
Oh, ding, ding, ding. You better answer that one because time's up. No. Cookies are ready, as they say.
It's from my wife. She wants
to
know.
One of the great surprises.
Yeah. So I better go. Go to retiremeet.com and sign up. And by the way, if you want to meet with one of our little advisor people for free for nothing, or even Tom, go to talkingrealmoney.com, click on Meet an Advisor, or there's an 800 number there. Call that, and we'll get you set up.
I might even answer.
No,
I love answering that. I love it because people go, wait, the Tom from the show? Yes, the Tom from the show. He does answer his own phone. How about that?
It's because Tom needs to work harder on those advisors to make them answer the phone sometimes.
Exactly.
It's like, I'm calling to meet with an advisor. Oh, I'm sorry. None are available. Oh, let me see. Oh, wait, there's one guy. Hold on.
Hello, this is Tom. As sad as that sounds, it is indeed true. So, yeah.
All right. We're going to go now. Thank you for being with us for our short little podcast. We hope you stay with us for more, and we'll have another one tomorrow, we promise. Matter of fact, we'll probably have another one Friday and then next week and then over and over again for years to come. I'm Don. That's Tom. Talking Real Money.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only.
Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times.
Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future.
So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring.
Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities.
Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor.
Thanks for listening, and please visit talkingrealmoney.com for more information and disclosures.
That's a wrap.